take a broader approach to it than just locally where they want to go, or it's got to be Division I or nothing else.
So welcome to Family Sports Life Today. Today we are talking with Alan Musante and Patricia Marino, who have written the book Keep Playing, The Six-Step Game Plan, The Non-Superstar's Guide to Playing Your Sport in College. This is a great tie-in to our symposium that we did last year and coming up this year about how to continue your athletic career in college and talk about other things to parents supporting their kids' sports careers.
Well, I got to preface this, Jay, because Al and I go back 50 years, and for the parents and kids that know me now, I've exposed my my dated life. The opportunity to have both Al and PJ on as a couple and co-authors of this wonderful book is really a medium to help parents today in sports and investing so much money in their children's participation in activities, sports activities, and other extracurricular activities. But I think the real return on the investment hopefully comes in the end when they may have an opportunity to be recruited or receive a grant and aid, depending on the level of skill that they're able to play. And so When Al and PJ contacted me a couple years ago about what they were envisioning being able to do with this book, I thought it was a great idea because they had a first-hand experience with their own daughter, Lex, and we'll get them to talk about that. But the first question I want to ask Al and PJ is this. When did the light in your sports life as a parent of a student athlete in high school turn on to this project? And if you can kind of bring us up to speed from the beginning to the end, that'd be great.
Well, we had a daughter who loved athletics and sports from when she was 6.5 years old. So we pretty much knew that we had a kid that loved horseback riding, to soccer, to track, to basketball. Well, it really wasn't until the middle of her senior year that I want to play college sports. And so we were the uninitiated, unprepared parents. We had no idea that our daughter wanted to go ahead and be a college athlete. We knew we had an athlete, but we were 3.5 years into high school before we discovered we had an athlete who wanted to play in college.
And I think you know, that process was a really truncated process of maybe 6 weeks of calling college coaches and just doing a lot of cold calls and emails and going through this process. And then I think the light bulb went on, Tom, when a friend of ours who was at a high school said, gee, you know, you really did a lot of research, a lot of thinking about this. Why don't you put some notes down? It might be helpful to other parents to think about how you did this, because your athlete really, she had a different history than the Division I recruited athlete, you know, the superstar. You know, she came to basketball pretty late, in the seventh grade, and she was on junior varsity, and then she got into varsity, but she wasn't a starter, and then she had an injury with her knee in her senior year. So it was kind of a late bloomer story.
Uh-huh.
And, so we felt maybe there was something, one, we could say for parents looking back to even middle school of how they could help their kid just get better as an athlete, get go to the next level, get different opinions about who their athlete was in their sport. Because one of the things that we saw is Alexis had a lot of different coaches, outside coaches that were helping her along. But, you know, there were... She really didn't have the level of support, I think, in her high school program that maybe some other kids did who were starters. And so we thought maybe there was some value, some information we could put down to make it easier for other parents.
You know, the thing to me that really stands out, and Al, because we go back so far, is that In my involvement in youth sports and seeing so many parents vicariously living through their kids as they evolve with an activity or multiple activities, is they really believe there's some type of expectation at the end of the high school period of participation. And in most cases, they want to have, you know, some financial reward out vis-a-vis a scholarship or grant and aid. Is that realistic? I mean, in your book, you kind of lay out the contacts and you know the opportunities of seeking financial aid and how you can go about walking on and what have you. But just amongst us here, do you really feel that that's a feasible and reasonable thought to consider for a parent and their child without putting pressure on the kid?
You have to be concerned about overemphasizing the opportunity to let alone to play, let alone get a scholarship or to get grant money. And I think it's important for us to emphasize that in our book we really marry academics with athletics. I mean, that's the primary emphasis in the book, and I think parents have to keep that in perspective. That being said, there is a world of opportunity in college that I don't think student athletes and their parents know about or find out about early enough in their high school experience. And so they don't even have an opportunity to open the door. And our book is a primer for parents explaining to them how to open the door, especially for the kid who's not highly recruited, not all league, not at the top of their AAU team. Our point is that there are a variety of opportunities that you need to explore as a parent, that you need to take the initiative and go out and research, and you're going to be very, very pleasantly surprised.
We've heard this from counselors who, what kids know are the Ivy Leagues, they know, you know, Pac-10, they know some of these other pretty highly touted schools or athletic programs, but, and it's Division I, they really don't think about Division III. And there's just a plethora of schools out there, good schools with good academic programs and pretty strong athletic programs that are available to students if they kind of take a wide berth and look at, have a broader approach to it than just either locally where they want to go or, you know, that it's got to be Division I or nothing else.
There are the divisions, the three divisions in NCAA. There's the divisions in NAIA. There are associations of Christian schools out there. There are junior colleges or community colleges, some of which offer scholarship opportunities. Beyond just scholarship, parents and kids need to know that their student athlete can walk on. There can be formal walk-ons, and there can be informal walk-ons. And our message to parents, because this was a book written for parents and reviewed by parents with a lot of parent input, is to, you know, begin the process early and open the door for yourselves.
Given your daughter's experience, who you say is not a superstar, wasn't recruited at Division I like some of her classmates. What did you have to do? What did she have to do to get noticed and be considered for the scholarships that she was offered at Division III?
Amy, we got on the telephone and started talking to the college coaches. And what I found was that they were amazingly open. It stunned me even. You're able to talk to college coaches and assistant coaches directly, and they help us put together the building blocks for a program whereby Alexis could begin to investigate programs and go to games and get coaches' feedback.
Al, hold up. I got to interject something, man. You're not telling me that you're espousing that people can call Gino Auriemma from number one UConn women's coach and Pat Head Summit from Tennessee, and they're gonna engage and enter into a conversation with a parent. Right? What you're talking about is a coach that nondescript coach that is a very successful coach in his own right, conference and what have you, but doesn't have the notoriety and celebrity that the parents would like to think their daughter or son could play at, correct?
What I'm saying to parents is pick up the phone. I think it's like anything in life. I'm not unrealistic enough to say that you're going to talk to Gino or you're going to talk to Pat. I wouldn't close the door on that. Probably you're not going to talk with them, but you're going to talk with a lot of informative, successful, compassionate college coaching professionals. And when, at least it was our experience, I mean, no one really ever told us that.
I think, Tom, what we saw it as is what you do for a job search. And, you know, any job search. And I took it from my own world of fundraising. You work from the inside out, you know, from your contacts that you have personally, and then go from, you know, one referral leads to another referral.
Hey, we're talking to Al Musante and PJ Marino, Patricia Marino, and they're the authors of Keep Playing, the Six-Step Game Plan, the Non-Superstar's Guide to Playing Your Sport in College. We've got a couple more minutes here, and I want to get through a couple questions. So Lex was at DePaul. Quickly take me through what happened and how she is now at USF.
Well, DePaul was, Alexis really chose between a Division III school and a walk-on situation at DePaul. For all those parents out there, I will forever remember this moment. I was sitting here at home in our front room when my daughter said, "Dad, 20 years from now or 40 years from now, I don't want to have to say to myself that I didn't reach for the top rung in college basketball." And so she decided to become a walk-on player at DePaul. And the DePaul coach welcomed her heart and was very realistic about the work that she would have to do to become a Division I player.
And also, Tom, can I just back this up to your former point? Because DePaul was always on her list as a school she wanted to go to long before she had even thought about going to play basketball in college. We had four tapes left. We sent most of these tapes and the profiles, et cetera, to Division III, Division II, because we were told, you know, she was basically a Division III player. Maybe it was a stretch to the Division II. I had four tapes left. She had four schools, I believe, that were Division I, and we thought, what the hell? Just send them out. One of those happened to be DePaul. And so we got a call from Bruno, and we actually figured, you know, he was just being nice because he wanted to talk with her, and we really didn't look at that expectation, and actually had a Division III school with an interview that had rolled out the red carpet for her. We were going to a luncheon that day, was about 40, where she received an academic grant to come, and the coach was a very winning coach in the Horizon League and was really excited. We got a call the day before that the recruiting coach wanted to talk with Alexis briefly. And we thought that's fine. And it was interesting that we went in that morning and for the conversation with the recruiting coach, and then she asked us to stay. And Bruno talked with Alexis for about an hour and was very, very fair, very, very realistic about the fact that she could be a walk-on all 4 years. You know, that he didn't know that she could really play at that level.
Right.
So I think part of it is, you know, you have nothing to lose. I mean, all these people can say is no to you. And why close the door, as I've learned long ago, is let someone else tell you no. Don't shut the door on yourself.
Uh, We really appreciate Al and PJ joining us today. I know that their book and their efforts is something that all parents can benefit from, especially now with the expectations that are being put upon the kids sports, all sports. And the book covers not just basketball, but gives you a very good cross-section from a holistic standpoint of being able to communicate, which is the key word in Alan PJ's mantra.